As I start, I'd like to read two verses. You don't need to turn to it, but it's in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." And I hope that everybody here this morning would fall into that category. I hope this morning that you are following after righteousness, that you are seeking the Lord. Then that verse says, "Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hope of the pit which ye are digged," or to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." When the Bible says, look to that rock, look to your father, ye that seek after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, it's speaking to all of us. It's not just talking to the Jews. It's not just talking to those that were under the law. We read from the Romans chapter 4, verse 16, where the Bible says, Abraham is the father of us all. And so this morning on Father's Day, the Lord invites us to look back to Abraham. Look back to that rock from which we were cut out of in order to see how we can find God, in order to see how we can follow after righteousness. And Abraham paints a picture for us this morning, and I want to share that picture with you about what we see as we look back to this one called Abraham. I see five parts of the picture. Number one, I see that Abraham was a sinner. Abraham was not born perfect. He was not born special. Abraham had a human daddy that passed to him human blood that had the taint of sin in it that passed all the way from Adam. And so Abraham fell under Romans 5:12, where the Bible says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Abraham was under that verse. Abraham was under Romans 3:10, where the Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Abraham was under Romans 3:23, where the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'll remind you this morning that Abraham lived in a wicked time. You go back and you study Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11. Abraham comes on the scene in Genesis chapter 12. But go back and look in the world that Abraham was living in when he lived. And if you look at it, you'll see that it was a wicked world. I mean, in Genesis chapter 11 is when they built the Tower of Babel. God had told him, go and replenish the world after the flood when everybody was killed except for Noah and his family. And he said, go and replenish the world. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. We want to build a tower to heaven. And so there, God came down and gave them different languages and scattered them. But at that particular time, they were worshiping false gods. They were worshiping all kind of gods. In fact, Abraham and his family was no exception. I mean, in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, here's what Joshua says. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Abraham's father served other gods. And Abraham was brought up in a home that served other gods. Sometimes we look at Bible characters like Abraham and we say, well, they're different. They're special. I mean, they're different from all of us. And I will remind you this morning that Abraham wasn't any different than us. He was a human being that had sin-tainted blood flowing through his bodies, just like all of us do. And he was brought up in a home that did not worship Jehovah God, but he worshiped other gods. And so many people today are bringing up their children worshiping other things than the true God. You say, preacher, you mean they worship idols like Abraham did? Yes, maybe not idols made of sticks and stones, but anything we put in God's place, anything that we love more than God becomes an idol. And many, many people today are bringing up their children not to worship Jehovah God, but to worship something that the world has to offer. That in the end, I think I heard Brother Leonard say it in Sunday school, 100 years from now, what's it going to matter? 100 years from now, what's it going to matter? How much money you got in the bank or how many cars you got in the garage? It's not going to matter at all. What's going to matter is your relationship with God. And so Abraham was a sinner. Here's the second part of the picture I see as I look back to this rock from which we were hewn out of. I see that God appeared to Abraham. God appeared to Abraham. Stephen tells us about it in Acts chapter 7 when he was giving his defense. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was still in the Ur of the Chaldees, when he was back in Mesopotamia. I want you to notice two things. It talks about the God of glory. That name for God is only used two times in the Bible. It's used in Acts chapter 7, and it's used in Psalm 29 verse 3, where the Bible says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth." And I want you to understand why it had to be the God of glory. Abraham and his family worshipped all these other gods. I don't know if they were made out of stone. I don't know if they were made out of wood. I don't know if they worshipped the sun. I don't know. Maybe all of it. But they worshipped false gods. They worshipped gods that could not do anything. The psalmist talks about these kind of gods in Psalm 115. "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." And so all the gods that Abraham worshipped, all the gods that his father worshipped, fall under that description from the psalmist. These are gods that have hands, but they can't handle anything. They might have eyes, but they can't see anything. They have ears, but they can't hear anything. They have feet, but they can't go anywhere. They have a mouth, but they can't say anything. Who would want a god like that? That was the kind of gods the people were worshiping until the God of glory appeared unto Abraham. The God of glory that's talked about in Psalm 77 when the psalmist says, "Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders." A God that doest wonders. And when Abraham saw that God of glory, he compared that God of glory to all the gods that he was worshiping that could not do anything. And he said to God, "I want you." Because you see, the Bible says, we read about in the book of Acts, he appeared to him. He appeared to him. This is the first appearance of God since the Garden of Eden. I mean, from the Garden of Eden until God appeared unto Abraham, nobody else saw him. Abel didn't see him. Enoch didn't see him. Noah didn't see him. Why was Abraham so special? I mean, what made Abraham so special that God, not being seen since the Garden of Eden, would appear unto Abraham? What was so special about Abraham? Nothing. Nothing. Why did God appear unto Abraham? Because of grace. Because of grace. God's unmerited favor came to this heathen man that worshiped these false gods, and he appeared unto him. And here's what God was saying when he appeared unto Abraham: "I want you. I want you. I want you to be part of my family. I want you to worship me. And as God appeared to Abraham and revealed himself unto Abraham and said unto Abraham, I want you. Abraham compared that God of glory to all the gods that he were worshiping, the gods that had hands and couldn't handle and ears that couldn't hear and eyes and couldn't see and a mouth and couldn't talk, and said, this God is better than any God that I have. I want you for my God. And Abraham made a choice. And he says, I'm putting away all these things that don't matter. All these gods that can't do anything. And I want the God that can do wonders. And Abraham chose God. Isn't that what God does to us? Huh? I mean, we're sinners like Abraham. There's nothing special about us. If we got what we deserved, every single one of us would be sent to hell forever and ever and ever. We're sinners. But God, in his grace, appeared unto us through the book, through the Bible, through a sermon, through a Sunday school lesson, through a tract, through the testimony of a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma. Somehow this God of glory appeared unto us and sent the message to us or said to us, I want you. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What God is saying to every single person is, I want you to be part of my family. I want you to worship me. I want you to love me. I love you. And his grace, in his grace, he appeared to us. And if we'll do what Abraham did, if we'll look at this God of glory, and we'll compare this God of glory and all the things that this God of glory is, and all the things that this God of glory can do, and compare them to the things that we're giving our life to, compare them to the things that the world has to offer, we'll make the same decision that Abraham made, and we'll set aside all the things of the world and all the dead gods that can't do anything, and we'll look to the God of glory. And we'll say, I want you. I want you. Now there's a third part of the picture. When Abraham made that picture, God said, I want you to separate yourself from your family. I want you to separate yourself from your friends. I want you to separate yourself from what you've known. In Acts, again, Stephen was talking about it in Acts chapter 7 when he said, and said unto him, said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into a land which I shall show thee. Now get the picture. Abraham was 70 years old when God came to him and told him that. He was established in Ur of the Chaldees, in Mesopotamia, whatever you want to call it. He was established. His home was there. His job was there. All his family was there. Why did God tell him to leave? Why did God tell him to get up, pack all that he had, and go to a different place? Because in that place, they were still worshiping the false gods. In that place, they were still worshiping their idols. And God said to Abraham, I want you to go to a different place. I want you to go to a place, I'm not even going to tell you where it is. I'll just tell you to stop when you get there. I'll show it to you when you get there. But I want you to remove yourself from your family and from your friends and from all these people that are worshiping these false gods. I want you to be separate. You see, once we come to the God of glory, and once we accept the God of glory, we should not have any agreement anymore with the things of the world. The Bible says in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can't walk with the world because we don't agree with them anymore. Our priorities are different. What's important to us is different. But when we get saved, all things are made new. And God says the same thing to us. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And when we get saved, there ought to be such a change in our life. There ought to be such a change in our attitude. There ought to be such a change in what the world sees in our life that they don't want anything to do with us either. And so he says, come on, be ye separate. Get out of this place. God told Abraham to do three things. He said, I want you to leave your country. He did that. He said, I want you to separate yourself from your family. He did not do that. And I want you to go to a land that I'll show you when you get there. He did not do that. He left his home, but his dad went with him. Terah went with him. And by the way, the name Terah, it means delay. And when they left Ur of the Chaldees, they didn't go to the land that God wanted them. They went to the land of Haran. That name means parched. And for 5 years, until Abraham's father died, he did not get to the place that God wanted him to be. He left his home, but he didn't leave his family. He did not get to that place that God wanted him to be. By the way, God does the same thing to us. When we get saved, all things become new. There ought to be a change in our life. God has some new places that he wants us to go. Now, he may not tell you, hey, pack up your bags and move your home and move to a different place to live. But there's some changes that he wants to make in our life. And here's the point I want to make to the Christians that are here this morning. The more we submit ourselves to the will of God, the more blessings of God we'll get. Because, tell you what, for those 5 years that Abraham was in Haran, when his dad was still alive, God didn't bless him. God could not do what he wanted to do for Abraham because he never got to the spot that God wanted him to be. But his dad died. And then God began to work in Abraham's life. He began to put him through the test. He began to put him through trials. He moved to the land of Canaan. He moved to the promised land, as we know it, that God was going to call it later when he gave it to the Israelites. But he moved to that place that he wanted Abraham to be. And a famine came. A famine came. And God told Abraham, trust me. I'll take care of you. I'll provide. Just stay here. Don't go anywhere. I finally got you to the spot I want you to be. Just stay right here. Abraham didn't trust God. He went down to Egypt. God was testing his faith. He was building his faith. The next test that came along, God had promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of many, many descendants. He said, look to the stars. If you can count the stars, that's how many children you're going to have. Or the sands of the sea, if you can count the sands, the grains of sand, that's how many descendants you're going to have. Well, Abraham was getting old. Sarah was getting old. They had no children. God was testing his faith. Are you going to depend on me or not? Are you going to trust me or not? He didn't. Sarah devised this plan, and Abraham went along with it, that he went into her handmaiden, Hagar, and had a little boy by Hagar. They thought they could help God out. They thought God needed help, that God couldn't keep his promise, that God couldn't do what he said. Yeah, well, man, I'm 90 years old, and Sarah's 80-something. We're too old to have children. If we wait any longer, it's never going to happen. And so he went into Hagar and had a little boy by Hagar. God was building his faith. That's what he does to us. He puts us in times of testing to build our faith so that we can learn to depend on him, so that we can learn that he will provide. The next test came. And God came to Abraham that had Isaac by this time, the child of promise. And God said to Abraham, I want you to take Isaac. And I want you to take him up on top of this mountain. And I want you to sacrifice him to me. Whenever I read stories in the Bible like this, I always try to put myself in the place of one of the characters in the story. And many, many times I've thought, what must have been like for Abraham? What must it have been like when God came to him and said, Abraham, you know, this son that you have, Isaac, the one that I promised that I would bless you through, I want you to take him up on top of this mountain and I want you to kill him. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. And you go back in the book of Genesis, you read that story. The Bible said that Abraham took a couple of his servants and he took Isaac, took a torch, he took some wood, took a knife, and they started traveling to that place that God told them where the mountain was. Abraham saw the mountain. He said to his two servants, you stay here. He put the wood on Isaac's back to carry. He carried the torch. He carried the knife. As they were going up the mountain, Isaac noticed something. He said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? What are we going to sacrifice to God? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. So get up on top of that mountain. Abraham built an altar, laid the wood on it. I can only imagine the conversation, if they even had one, that father and son had as Abraham tied Isaac up, laid him on the altar, took that knife, raised it up. And what a glorious moment it was as Abraham had that knife ready to strike into the heart of his son when that voice came from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Stop. I see now that your faith has got to the point where I wanted it to be. It wasn't there. It wasn't there when I told you to leave home and family because you took your daddy with you. And you never got, it took you a long time to get to the place that I wanted you to be. Your faith wasn't there when the famine came and you fled into Egypt because you didn't trust me. Your faith wasn't there when I told you to wait and I would give you the child of promise and you had to go ahead and go into Hagar and have Ishmael by him. But Abraham, your faith has grown. And I've finally gotten you to the point where I want you to be. And this is the fifth part of the picture that I want you to see this morning. Abraham got to the point where God wants all of his children to get. When Abraham came to that point in his faith where he trusted God enough to say, here's the most precious thing in my life. And I'm sure, again, Abraham was a human being just like us. I mean, if it was Steve or I know what we'd do. We go to God and say, God, what about if I offer my life? Don't take Mark's life, take mine. Don't take Adam's life, take mine. Every father here this morning would say the same thing. And, oh, God, why does it have to be my son? Take my life. But Abraham came to that point in his life, again, where God wants every one of his children to get, to where we have enough faith in him. In fact, the Bible says Abraham had enough faith that says, well, if I kill him, God can bring him back to life if he wants to. There ain't nobody been brought back to life at that time in the Bible. It hadn't happened yet. And yet Abraham said, here's the most precious thing in my life. God, I'm giving it to you. That's where God wants us to get in our journey of faith. He wants us to trust him more and more and more and more till we get to the point where we can say like Abraham, this is the dearest thing there is in my life. But God, if you want it, you can have it. And God, and again, the Bible says, let me get back to my notes. The Bible says that when Abraham got to that point, and this is from the book of James, chapter 2, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called friend of God. The friend of God. This morning, if you're here and you've never seen the God of glory, He wants you this morning. He wants you. He wants you to be part of His family. And I hope this morning that you can just get a glimpse of Him. Because just one glimpse, if you've got any sense at all, you will choose the God of glory over anything the world has to offer. Nothing else stacks up to it. And so if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's what you need to do this morning. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you ask Him this morning, He'll save you. Many of us are here this morning as Christians. We've already made that decision. We know Jesus as our Savior, and if we were to die on the way home today, we'd immediately go to heaven and be with Him. But you see, God's working on us. He's building our faith. He's putting us through trials of faith so that our faith will grow. And here's where He wants us to get to. He wants us to get to the point in our life, again, where we would take the dearest thing that we have, and say, God, if You want it, it's Yours. It's Yours. I hold nothing back. Everything I have is Yours. As a Christian, are you at that point yet? If not, God's still working on you. He's still working on you. Let your faith grow. Trust Him. Trust Him. As Adam sang a few minutes ago, He will always provide. He will always give us what we need. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Abraham, the father of us all, that through his life teaches us what You're trying to do in our life, what You want to do in our life. And I pray this morning for those that may be here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, I pray today would be the day that they decide. They see their sin. They see the God of glory and the one who went to the cross and died in their place. And this morning they would ask Jesus to save them. I pray every single person here that doesn't know Christ would do that. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us, help us, help us to get to that point where we could say like Abraham, that we could take, if need be, the dearest thing we have, and we could lay it on an altar, and we could say, God, it's all Yours. It's all Yours. It's all Yours. Father, I pray You'd make us like that. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and do in our lives this morning what needs to be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.